We are going back this morning again into our teaching on the areas of spiritual jurisdiction. Actually, I really didn't think I was going to be on this as long as I have been. I didn't really think it was going to be this long, but there's just things that the Lord has been really dealing with me on to talk about. And if you notice, a lot of the things we're talking about are basic things. Just maybe looking at them, we're looking at the subject of spiritual jurisdiction. We're looking at it from maybe a little bit different light. But sometimes that's very helpful when you just take another look from another direction. That's what Kenneth Hagin always taught us. He said when you go to a top of a mountain, there's more than one view. And sometimes scripturally standpoint, you can stand. If you look at something a little bit differently in a different direction, it just you can see it maybe clearer. Sometimes in teaching and illustration, some people get certain things and it's taught later on in another direction a little bit. But it's the same subject, it's the same thing, but people catch certain things that they didn't catch before, or they didn't understand. And I know with myself, as many times, that's the way I've learned things over the years, is looking at them a little bit different direction, maybe hear somebody preach it in a just a little bit different way, and just put a little bit different light on the subject, and say, ah, yeah, that adds to it. And that's our whole intent, and that's what God really dealt with me on in dealing with these, is the direction that we're looking in these areas. Now, the last time in our we've been ministering, in fact, we did two Sundays dealing with our will and the power of our will with dealing with God. And understand, in spiritual jurisdiction, God doesn't override the wills of men. And that's where this is one of the things that I think people misunderstood of what prayer is about. You know, and even like I said about praying for our nation, people think God's going to make people do something. No, what it does is when we begin to pray, there's another influence starts to take place. People can be influenced. You know, the Lord dealt with me years ago in praying for different people concerning the areas of salvation. And I spoke to the Lord about it. I asked some questions. You know, me, when I seem to be praying in a direction and I don't think it's going the way that things should be, I'll stop and ask questions. I'm not one of these people that 15 years down the road, you're still doing the same thing and it ain't working. I don't want to go there. And I asked the Lord about praying for people for salvation. Because unless sometimes a minister's talking, they'll talk like, well, if you pray for somebody to get saved, they're going to get saved. Well, I thought, if that really did work, well, why were we missed in that? Everybody ought to get saved. Well, they don't. And the Lord poked to me. He said, when you pray concerning an individual and salvation, he said, you're asking me to move on their heart and to speak to them or bring somebody across their path to talk to them. He said, that person has a will. They can decide whether they want it or not. He said, if you pray and ask me, he said, I'll move on a person. I'll deal with them. But he said, I won't make them get saved. In other words, they have their own will and they can decide whether they want to receive it. He said, but they will never stand before me and say, I didn't know. Because if you ask me, I'm going to move in their heart. And see, that's one of the things of our jobs. If you ever think about us as Christians, our job is to preach the gospel to people, and our job is to pray for people. We can't heal them. We can't save them. That's not our job. If we do our job, we preach the truth. We go out and pray for people, and we pray for them and pray for people for their salvations and things. God will move on them, and that's His part. You know, you can never do the job of the Holy Ghost. You know, how many of you have ever tried to do the job of the Holy Ghost? Yeah, we've all done it sometime or another. Maybe we are doing it today. I don't know. Sometimes we try to fill that spot and do that. You can't. You know, it's one thing is God knows the heart of an individual. He knows what moves the heart of an individual, and we don't. From a natural standpoint of what you think would touch a person's heart may not be at all what would really touch their heart. Thank God the Holy Ghost knows that. God knows, and He'll move on a person. So we pray for people. That's why we pray for our nation. You know, I pray for the salvation all the time of our president. A lot of people pray for a lot of different things, our president, concerning our nation. My one thing is that this guy's on his way to hell. I don't care if anybody hears this. They hear it on the radio. Oh, how can you say that? Who are you judging? I am not judging. If you think that he's saved, you need to get saved. You know, let's get real about this thing, folks. You know, we can sit and play all these stupid Christian games that are being played out here, but I pray for that man's salvation because he's lost. And he's going to lead his family, his whole family, his wife and his children off to where he's going. And I pray for them. I'm going to tell you what, he might mess up running this nation, but I'm going to tell you what, going to hell's eternal. And see, we need to see sometimes look what's important in the thing. It's one thing, you know, if he got saved, he would sure change a lot of things in how he viewed things. But the whole thing of it is, he's a man who's lost. And I'm concerned about his eternal salvation. And people can say I'm judging or do whatever they want. I'm like the Apostle Paul. I ain't letting any man judge me on it. I don't even care. I just laugh if somebody says it. I just laugh at them because I know they're just little kids and they don't have a clue. They don't know what they're talking about. I ain't going to worry about it. You know, we're in this situation, and I just consider the power that we have in prayer. If we ask God to move on somebody's heart, He will. That's part of what we have to do, and He will. He'll talk to them. If you ask Him to in faith, and you don't go back to Him 47 times and act like He's not doing it just because things ain't going your way. It's one of the things is getting over the things, of, especially in the areas. Don't pray in trying to force somebody's will. Don't pray in that way, because you can open up doors to demonic powers to begin to move. You don't want to go into that. You can get it. God's not called us to manipulation. The devil's a manipulator. We're not. And we can't force people to do things. But we can set atmospheres spiritually where it makes it more convenient for them and more conducive to them to respond to the things of God. And that's what we want to do. That's what prayer does. Prayer opens it up so they can hear the truth. There's many people that they would change if they heard the truth. But there's so many things that are binding them. The devil has them so bound and blind. That's why we need to pray for them. Get the Holy Ghost and the angels working in there on that individual to clear out some of that demonic junk that's going on that's blinding them and holding them bound. And we do have the power to do that. We can deal with those things and let God move in them and come and bring the truth to them. Now, we have been teaching on this spiritual jurisdiction, and I just want to say this, because dealing from the area of God's jurisdiction, we talked about, from the areas we taught about His will, we talked about the fact of His Word, concerning His Word and dealing with His jurisdiction. We taught that. We talked about man's will. And now concerning God's jurisdiction, we're going to talk about the last part of dealing with His jurisdiction, and that's dealing with areas man's faith. We need to understand that God has set Himself guidelines, and under His jurisdiction, He has set rules of how things operate within His jurisdiction. And faith, man's faith, really deals with how far God can go with us to do things for us, to bless us, or whatever else. And we need to understand that, because many people, you know, have the idea, and you've all heard people say, well, you know, if it's God's will, if it's God, in other words, lots of times it's used, if it's God's will, then it's going to happen, and if it's not God's will, then it won't happen. And they don't deal with the fact of men and man's faith in God. And we need to know as believers, you can be born again, and you could be not a person out here living in any kinds of gross sin or living a good life or, you know, trying your best to follow the Word of God, but really not be of a person in faith with God. You know, there's people that I know that, I mean, I think they're really nice folks. They're Christian folks, is really nice. They know nothing about faith. They live good lives, per se. But there's a lot of things they can't get fixed in life. A lot of things go on and happen, and they don't know nothing about faith. They don't know how to believe God. They haven't been taught how to do it. They don't know how it works or how it operates. So there's areas they can never reach over into. And I found this is I've always, the fact of I've, you know, God's allowed me it numbers of times to pray and use my faith to bless individuals that don't know how to use their faith, that don't know how to do it. I've done it numbers of times. But there's one thing, as I found out, I can't do it all the time with them. I can't constantly do it. You will never be able to all the time do it. But I've learned over time is using my faith to bring blessing into somebody's life that don't know how to use faith, that doesn't understand it or doesn't know how to use it. But understand, if a person does it, they're going to always be limited, and they're always going to be limited in the areas of God's jurisdiction of what God can do for that individual. God has laid down a plan. It's one of the things that in 1987, when Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin and told him, when he made the statement that he blesses his people all the times as far as he can. But he made this statement. He said, my full blessing, though, is on where my perfect will is. Where my perfect will is, that's where the full blessing's at. And he said, in other words, people are out here trying to have, they want the full blessing. It's like Mike said this morning, he's correct. The Bible says we're blessed with all or every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. I mean, they are all available. Think of this. Everything of the realm of the Spirit. In other words, we could say everything that heaven has, God has given opportunity to us to have now. You know, we can literally have some heaven right here on earth. We can have it right here. It is available to us. But because it's available, it does not mean we're going to have it. We need to understand that. There are people out here that they do have the idea. They think, well, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen. But we need to understand, if we don't understand how to use faith, we got to get into the perfect will of God. Well, being faith is part of getting into the perfect will of God. This is where people don't understand the idea. They think, well, if I didn't get healed, then God didn't want me healed. And then if I got healed, then He did. And they go by that. They don't understand. They're not using faith. And they're not hooked up in the area of faith. They don't know how it works. So they really can't hook into this, to the jurisdictions, the lines that God said. God says, look, you come over here in this area, and this is what's available for you. If you're in the kingdom, and you're in this area, here's what you can have. And they don't know. They don't know how to operate there. They don't know how to attain it. They think that God blesses, and I'm sorry, but many spirit-filled people still, they look at, if God blesses, if I just been a pretty nice person, if I'm pretty good, then God will bless me. But it doesn't work that way. I've seen the nicest people go under. I've seen the people that, you know, the lives fall apart. Things happen, you know. And everybody faces pressures and everybody has stuff going on. But we need to walk in the light of the Word of God. So finding out, what is God's perfect will? What is God's perfect will concerning man and faith? What is His perfect will? If I want to walk in the blessing, I have to understand what that perfect will that He has established. And you need to understand this. When Jesus told Kenneth Hagin that He said, if you're in my perfect will, the foundation of the perfect will of God, you don't have to pray for none of it. Read the Bible and you'll find it out. The foundation of it is laid right out in the Word of all of it. Everything that I've taught so far about spiritual jurisdiction, you can all find it right in the Word. You don't need a special revelation to get it. It's right in the Word. It's right there. It's written. We're showing you the Scriptures that say these things. We're revealing these things because it's written right out in the Word. So we can go to the Word and find out what the perfect will of God is. I don't have to, you know, thank God for, you know, we preach and teach and all that stuff. But it is there. Look, and you can go to the book. You have the Holy Spirit in you to teach you, and you can get it from the book, just like somebody, anybody else could get it from the book. Kenneth Hagin didn't have a different Bible. You know, he read a different version than mine. I did for King James, and I went to the New King James because I just found it was easier reading for people when you have all the these and thous and everything in it. But it doesn't matter. I can read the these and thous, and I still like it. It doesn't matter to me. But folks, we need to understand that God has laid these things down, and He has told us in the Word. That's why when God told Joshua, Joshua's success was going to be on the fact that he followed what Moses taught, that God, the Word of God that was given to them. Joshua didn't have to pray and seek God to find out what the rules were. He had the book with the rules, the law. He had them. And God told you meditate in them rules. You meditate in that day and night, and you're going to be a success. And you need to know that. This is not a different one for you today. You need to get the Bible and get in it the same way. If you want to have success, you got to get into the rule book. How am I supposed to operate in this jurisdiction that I am? What am I supposed to be doing here concerning the blessing? There's not one promise of God that doesn't have a condition to it. All promises have conditions to them. You know, we used the thing with Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin went to God. We talked about this in two teachings. He went to God and said, hey, the Word says if you're willing and obedient, eat the good of the land. What? Was there conditions to eating the good of the land? That was given to Israel about going into the land. He says, if you're willing and obedient, you're going to eat the good of the land. That's what you're going to get. In other words, if you're not willing, you ain't going to get it. See, God said, I got a land for you guys. It's flowing with milk and honey. This is a great place out here. I'm going to take you in there. But if you ain't willing and obedient, it ain't going to work. Even though it's a great land. I'm going to tell you, you're in a great land today. Now, I'm not talking about America. I'm talking about being in the kingdom of God. If the church would get less focused on America and more on the kingdom that they're in, we'd be a greater blessing to America. We would. I tell you what, I want to be more focused. I want to be a blessing to America. You know, I didn't want to be God bless America. I want Ed bless America. Quit asking God to bless America when the church don't. I want to bless America, and I bless America. I'm a blessing to this nation if I stay in the will of God. That's the blessing I am to this nation. I'll be the greatest blessing to America by walking in the light of the Word of God. Hallelujah. And that's where we want to stay at. Now I want to look at a very familiar scripture in the Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We want to talk about the areas of faith. We want to talk about it because our faith limits, our faith will either, give us a greater expression and more blessing in God's kingdom, in God's jurisdiction, or it could limit us in God's jurisdiction. And in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, I'm not going to start from the beginning, but the subject of the 11th chapter is dealing with faith. And if you actually look at Hebrews is dealing, the book of Hebrews is dealing with faith. It was dealing with Jews and what they believed. This was written to Hebrews, to Jews, on what they believe, and it's dealing with the areas of faith. But we look at a very familiar scriptures, and it says this. Now, it says this, and we've used this many times in teaching, and God wants it brought out again today because He spoke to me specifically about some things here with this. But it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I want you to understand this. Now, we're dealing with in God's jurisdiction. Now, if you're in God's jurisdiction, wouldn't you like to please Him in His jurisdiction? I would think that that is going to be a real must to operate within His jurisdiction. The blessing is, number one, you're going to have to please Him. Now, understand this. I have the ability today to please God more than I did when I started off. Now, there wasn't. He was happy with me then, but I have the ability to please Him more. And you need to understand, the Lord spoke to me years ago about people, how it really, in a sense, how it hurt Him that He couldn't do things for people because they wouldn't believe Him, and He wanted to do stuff for people, and He wasn't able to because they wouldn't believe Him. They wouldn't believe what the Word says. And He was just, it was almost like, He hurt over the thing. In fact, I want to do these different things, and I can't do it for them because they won't believe me. And we need to understand this. God is a giver. That's what He is. Now, when God's love, He has to be a giver or He's not love. And if God is love, and in that love is giving. I mean, just think about it. When we talk about God doing things of healing and all that stuff, quit making that stuff sound like it's a big deal. I mean, that stuff ought to be, if Jesus would save you to take you to heaven and took a devil's child and turned it into a child of God, my God, anybody think He'd hold anything back from you? That's total insanity. That is ignorance gone to seed. I mean, that's just stupid. My God, these people talk about, well, God saved us, the healing part, that don't even, none of that matters anymore. Not all this natural, it doesn't matter. He'd go and save me and then think healing. We'd think healing's some big deal. My God, healing ain't nothing compared to the fact that He took a devil's child and turned him into a child of God and seated him in heaven places in Christ Jesus and made him a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And then people sit around and say, well, the rest of this stuff, He don't do all that other stuff. It don't mean that. No, we just, we're just forgiven idiots. And just, He's going to take us to heaven and really don't like us anyhow. Well, man, they might as well say it because they might not at the time get it voiced out of their mouth, but that's what they made Christianity into. And they make all this blessing and stuff. The blessing of God, understand, it is God's heart to help people. He wants people to have good. He wants people to have good things. He don't want anybody out here with not enough food to eat. He don't want anybody just to have, one good meal a day. He would like if people could eat three times and have good meals. The starvation in the earth ain't God's judgment on anybody. It's man's stupidity, man's ignorance, and man's refusal to follow God, even among Christians that are in there. They don't understand the will of God. They don't understand how God's will works. They don't know what God's will is for them. And we need to understand, it says, without faith, I can't please Him. And if I'm going to please Him in His kingdom, in this place I live, then that means there's a must that I must understand concerning faith. I will guarantee you this, if I went through this town today, and this outlying area, and I got all the ministers together, and I stood up and asked people what faith was, I would bet you that 95% of the ministers would answer wrong. They would just use some generic terms that they always use. Well, faith means trust. What on earth does that mean? Well, what does it mean? How do I trust? You can throw these generic terms out here all you want. I want you to know how this. Faith isn't something we just say. Faith is something we live and we are and you do. If you can't do it, ain't no point in talking about it. Who cares? What does it matter? What does it matter? It's what we're doing. And see, people put out, but you ask them actually how to do it, they have no clue. They have no clue how to do, how to walk by faith. They have no clue. How do you believe God? I am totally amazed how many people get saved with the ignorance of the churches have on salvation, just faith for salvation. It's amazing how people even get saved sometimes. I wonder. I think, dear God, as ignorant as the stuff that's been said and done, I just wonder sometimes, I think, my God, God got his hands full with the church. But you need to understand, we need to get this stuff. In other words, faith. How does faith work? I need to understand it. Here it says that without this operation of this faith, without this, I can't please God. Now understand, that doesn't mean don't like me. But it's not what pleases him. And we need to understand this. I don't know about you. I don't want God just to like it. I want God to be happy with it. I don't want God, when I get to heaven, Jesus said, man, you just made it, boy. Wouldn't you like to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? There's loads of people that have been really nice Christians. And they're going to get to heaven, and God's just going to say to them, you really ain't done nothing the whole time. And they think they were great Christians down here, but they ain't really done nothing. They thought they were nice folks and they were everything else. That wasn't all it was about. I mean, what do we consider nice folk anyhow? I mean, today, Apostle Paul in the church world, he'd be a hater. They'd take him out and stone him, man. They didn't like that boy at all. See, it's what we do, and this is why we got to look at the Bible. Look at the Bible. Read the Bible. I believe it's our heart's desire is to please God. My heart, if anything, my heart wants to please him. My heart wants to be pleasing to him. My heart wants to be operating in a different direction than he wants to go. My heart's desire is to do his will. I want to do that. He said, without faith, I can't please him. So I know I need to understand how to operate because I want to please him. And if I limit him in my faith toward him, it isn't only just affects me, it's going to affect other people. It's number one on the class. If my faith is affected, my family's affected. See, I need to know how to walk in faith from the family standpoint. My first obligation concerning my faith, the Bible says if a guy doesn't take care of his families, he's worse than an infidel. All the Christians ever took that from was, well, you know, you go to work and provide food and a house for your family. I'm going to tell you, I watch the Christians do that, and spiritually their houses are, you know, Ichabod. Let's get down and get real about this. I want to use my faith because my faith can protect things in my family that my money and work will never do. I'll never come near. My faith will allow God to do things. My faith allows God. And you know what pleases God about faith? He gets to do what he likes, and that's bless people. He gets to do his greatest joy is to bless humanity. That's what he wants. That's his most favorite thing. If you want to know what excites God the most, is him being able to carry out his perfect will to you. And his perfect will is not lightning bolts striking you. His perfect will isn't, oh, you old scumbag, let's send hell down on him. No, that's not. And when you and I use faith, we open the door for God to do his perfect will towards you, is to bless you and to bless others. That's what it is. And so that's what's pleasing to God. When we use faith, we allow heaven to operate in the earth. We want to be nice people. We want to be good people. But if we don't operate in faith, that won't allow heaven to operate. It requires faith to allow heaven to do what it wants. That's the way God set the system. I love this system because it's not based upon monetary things. It's not based on who's the brightest or the smartest. It's not based upon any of that. Everybody's in the same category. You can choose to believe. You can take the guy with the least education and he can still believe God and have God's best to come to his life. This is what I love about it. See, some people, all this faith stuff's hard. No, they're just used to getting stuff and not doing anything, and they think it's terrible. You actually have to perform something. You're responsible. You know, God don't turn around. And that's where a lot of people don't like it. See, personally, I love personal achievement. It's part of God's program. All this devilish stuff going on today, trying to take away personal achievement, you know. Just had Hillary Clinton stand up and said the same thing Obama does, you know. Businesses don't create jobs. You know, another idiot spoke. I'm sorry, I'm just going to speak. It's another idiot. I mean, that's absolute stupidity. Making such a statement. It's idiocy. Stand up in public and say such a thing and then they won't back down from it, you know. But the biggest shame at all, there's loads of people to vote for. It's the same because they're as dumb as she is. They try to take away personal achievement. If you look at the Bible, your personal achievement has to do with whether you're going to make it or not with God. Whether God's going to, it's what you're going to do. You better like the personal achievement. These people don't realize if it wouldn't be the personal achievement, even of people spiritually, they wouldn't even be alive today. It's personal achievement. This is why, you know, God wants us to personally achieve. He wants you as an individual to be able to please Him. You as an individual. But understand, you can't live off of somebody else's faith. You can't live off of it. God may do things through others' faith who bless us. Thank God for down through the ages of all the Jewish people who walked and carried the Word of God down through all the ages till the Messiah came. And then all the people that followed down through to one day Ed could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God. But when that gospel came to me and I received it, now Ed had to become a carrier. Most people are never carriers. This is one of the greatest problems in the church world today. We've taught people not to be the carriers. You don't carry it on. You just get all the benefit and you're supposed to sit there and have the stuff. We're the carrier to the next generation. The next generation must be taught how it works. We don't teach them how it works. We've tried to use our stuff to give them everything that they can have without them having to believe. We need to teach them faith. I taught our kids faith. I taught them from the time they were little kids to use faith. Mommy and daddy didn't take care of everything they wanted. You teach them to believe God. You know, most parents, I'm just sorry, and I don't care, Christian, non-Christian, they want to be their kids' gods. And you got to stop that. Because if you don't, they're going to grow up unbelievers thinking you're God, and you're going to wonder, why don't they change? They don't have to change. God lives with them and takes care of them without doing nothing. God does it. See, we taught our children faith. You must do it. Why? I want to teach my children how to please God. Oh, we taught them to please God because they went to Sunday school and memorized a verse. That's good, memorizing some verse. That's all fine. But how about you need to teach them how to walk by faith? You need to teach them. When they say they want something, say, well, let's pray and believe God. I mean, you teach them. We started our kids really little. Imagine how they caught on to it. They catch on to that stuff quick. See, most people think their kids are as dumb as they are. Well, let's get real about it. It's amazing. I mean, children pick it up quick. Look, I was in a church for a number of years. Wanda and I for 2 years had the youth group in that church. I also taught the adult Sunday school class. And I'm going to tell you what, teaching those kids in the youth group on how faith worked, this is no exaggeration. They picked it up 100 times faster than the adults did. When I left that church, most of the adults in the adult Sunday school class still didn't get it. But you'd teach kids, and they'd grab a hold of it. Once you showed them something that worked, they'd go work it. You can show adults something that worked, and you know what? They'll still go back and do it the other way. But they'll agree with you. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's good. I believe it's true. We just don't do it. But those kids, once they found out something was true, I'm going to... and this is the honest God truth. We taught these kids on how faith worked with money and about how doing things. And Wanda and I, when we'd come up to do something, finances, we would ask them what they wanted to do with it. Now, I'd have never asked the adults this. I would have never given the adults permission to do it. They'd have messed everything up because they didn't know nothing about faith. These kids, we'd ask them, say, well, you know, we need such and such amount of money. What do we need to do? Wanda and I wouldn't tell them what there was they were supposed to do, even though we knew. We didn't tell them. We wanted to find out if they were learning this stuff going along. I'm going to tell you, those kids didn't miss a beat. They'd say, well, we just need to give some money away. We need some money. They think the first thing you need to do is give some money away. That's the last thing most people. They need a financial blessing. They're figuring out how to dread that thing without anything coming out of their pocket. And they'll go to praying and doing all kinds of stuff, asking people stuff, doing people stuff. Those kids learned the thing. The first thing you do is, fine, let's go give. Give and it shall be given unto you. Is it true or not? The first thing that I think of concerning my financial need, the first thing I think of, what can I give? That's the first thing on my agenda. That's the first thing I ever think. What can I give? Why? Because if you sow, you reap. That's the way it works. Nicest thing. It works. I found out this thing works. You know, I very seldom ever pray anything hardly about finance. I probably hardly ever talk to God from the standpoint of prayer. I just will ask him maybe, hey, is there something specific you want me to do? Or I'll do whatever it is. Maybe you have something in your mind like Mike did. Well, God used me today. You know, he might surprise you. You know, I'll tell you what, Mike ain't the only one that's had that happen. God used me. Well, did you have to do it this way? Don't you know that I'm busy, God? See, we want to please God. And so I found out how the system works is using my faith. You know, most wonderful things when I came to the point, I know my own personal life, when I lost the fear of financial things, I lost the fear of it. I wasn't afraid no more. And I lost that fear when we didn't have any money. It's easy to say you're not afraid of finances. You got a bunch of stuff in the bank and you got, 10 401ks and all this kind of stuff back. It's easy to say that. But what do you do when you don't? I know what it is not to have two nickels rubbed together. And the next nickels I'm giving away. Because I wanted more. I found out how faith works. My whole thing is I wanted to be pleasing to God. I wanted to please God. And I wanted to prove it that God's way was right. I was sitting and listening, and I had, when I started off, man, we had some good teaching in those areas, and people were teaching good things, and people that were teaching them. So one thing that's different today, a lot of the teachers that I grew up under, they came at it the hard way. A lot of the teachers today know nothing about coming in the hard way. They have been grown up in families who their parents knew how to use faith and walk and get stuff. And they never did learn to be, they never started on the bottom. I came in teaching people who came out of the bottom, and Wanda and I were in the bottom. And we had to learn faith to get up. Our kids didn't have to learn faith on the bottom. They didn't have to learn it on the bottom. You know, I listened to Kenneth Hagin. He learned about faith on the bottom. He learned it from down below. See, and there's experiences. And see, what happens? You can get over there and think, pretty well you're walking in faith. But, it's just like Randy Greer said about, the Lord told him concerning finances. When he was going to get another plane, and the Lord said, no, I want you to, he was going to believe God for money and plane. He said, I want you to give your other plane away. And the Lord said this to him. He told him, he said, if you sell that plane, take the money and buy it. He said, you're going to set a cap on your ability to believe me. You're only going to ever be able to go so far. And I knew when Randy told about that, I knew exactly what he was talking about because God had dealt with me in those areas about setting limits on myself of how I viewed how he could get me stuff or how I could believe for it. And to realizing, I was always, sometimes, that might be an okay thing to do, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's not. And this is why you got to listen to God. You don't want to do things that set a cap on your faith. And what he's talking about, he ain't talking about setting a cap on how much money he can get. He's setting a cap on his faith of how far he can go to please God. It was absolutely pleasing to God that I sat in a meeting and a guy showed up and said, God sent me here specifically for this meeting to give you a check for that airplane. And gave him a check for hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy the airplane. But it's from Randy's standpoint. That led him into a place of faith beyond where he was at. It's like he'll talk to you plain. He said, people say to me, he said, why don't you believe God for a jet? And he said, you need to understand something. He said, it isn't about just believing God for a jet. He goes, you got to keep that thing running. You got to have faith out there far enough. And you build that faith toward that. It's why I always tell people, if you can't believe God for a headache, you ain't going for the cancer. Well, finances, it's the same thing. You know, if you come up and you need $100,000, but you ain't never believed God for $500 and let Him just bring it in, you ain't going to go for the $100,000. I'm just going to tell you. It knows. You don't do it. I've learned how this thing works. But one thing is many things I learned was through adversity. I didn't have a plan B because we didn't have enough money for a plan B. We didn't have one. We didn't have those things. And, you know, my whole thought about money was totally different. But I came to the point in that time to not be afraid concerning money. That was a huge, I don't know about you, but that was a huge thing for me. That was a huge thing for Ed, that Ed wasn't afraid. Now, number one, I thank God that my children got to grow up really with Wanda and I learning this stuff. And they learned about believing God for things. And really, to them, to come off into life and raise a family and think it was much easier in many ways for them because they understood things. They understood the principles. It's one thing, we never tried to play God to our kids. We never tried to supply all their needs according to our riches and glory. We never did that. We never tried that. We didn't. I used to tell my kids, one day in life, if Jesus don't return, your daddy's going to leave this earth before you, because I will not let you die while I'm on the earth. That ain't happening. We ain't going there. We're all going to be here. And we're going to do it naturally. I'll get old and go one day if Jesus don't return. And Mama will go one day. But you're going to know how to live for God while you're here on this earth. You're going to know how to do that. And that's what you train them and teach them. And you have to teach them that, because if they don't learn it when you leave, they ain't going to be doing it. You know, you got to teach them that. And so that's what we did. But our whole point wasn't just so we could get stuff. I really had the desire. When I would hear Kenneth Hagin teach, I mean, there was a man who really loved God. And he wanted to do God's will. Now, he'd tell you the stories how he messed up along the way and sometimes didn't do the will and do stuff he messed up. But as he walked, his whole desire was to do the will of God. He wanted to please God. And we should not have our thing of building faith just so we can get stuff. We want to please God. God, I want you to be pleased. I want you to be able to do what you want to do and not just me do what I'm wanting to do. Sure, I want to have things. I want to do it. That's fine. But I want to be let Him have the great pleasure to be able to do some stuff for me. He wants to. He wants to do things for people. He just wants to bless you. He just wants to do something for you. And faith allows Him the pleasure. The pleasure of doing things. As Jesus told Kenneth Hagin in his vision about doing things, is the pleasure that he gets out of, he could just bless his children. He could just do something for them. He wanted to just do something for his children. How he loved to do that. That somebody, he told Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Hagin's wife was dying. So years and years ago, she had a goiter. And it had grown in under, and anyhow, it was choking her. Back in those days, they didn't know much about that kind of stuff in operations, and it wasn't like it is today. That'd be a nothing. But in those days, it wasn't. People died, especially what they called an ingrown goiter. My mother had one when I was a little kid, and they operated on her, and that was a big deal. And his wife was operated on years before my mom was. He went before God concerning his wife, and one day he was praying at a meeting. One day they had a meeting praying, and Jesus, he said he was up by the podium praying. He said Jesus appeared to him, and Jesus said, "I come because of your prayer." And he said, he said when Jesus said it to him, he said he knew it was about his wife. And Jesus said to him, and he said, tell your wife to go have the operation, because the doctors gave her almost no chance at all to live through an operation. They gave her almost no chance at all to live through it. And he said, you tell her to go have the operation, and he said, I'll bring her through just fine. He said, now Jesus told him, it said this to him, he said, you ask me, and I'm doing this just because you asked me, he said, and Jesus said, he basically said, I wish my children would ask me so I can do these things for them. He said, I'm only doing this because you asked. Because you ask. Now, there's one thing. He's talked to God. He's talking to God in faith. He's expecting God to respond to him. He's not just out there going, oh, help God, oh, help God, oh, help God, oh, help God, oh, help God. You know, there's a lot of people, what they call praying sometimes is no more than that. He said, and he went on to tell Kenneth Hagin how he longed to help his children if they would only just ask. How long? We have so much of Christianity that they won't even ask because they don't even know if God wants it. You know, maybe God has a will for her, but his purpose was for her to die. And they sought God, and God was, just think about it, Jesus Christ, just please, because he had. You ask, and I came just because you ask. And then he's, you know, he says, basically, people ain't asking, and I can't do stuff. You know, when people don't believe God wants to do certain things, they ain't asking much about it. A lot of people think a lot of things and think they prayed just because they thought about it. I want to go on in this verse, because we've been just talking about the thing of pleasing God. And I want you to see something here. Something the Lord's really impressed me on this, and we want to talk. He said, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. And I want you to see this. It says, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now the Lord really put there, he said, I want you to talk about being diligent. I want you to talk about that. This is one of the great problems that people deal in the faith area. This is where a lot of people don't realize. We need to understand this. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He said, our faith, you have to have faith to please him. And we know this. Faith what? Brings reward. So we could say this, God is going to be pleased with your faith if you're diligent. This is where one of the real problems comes at in Christianity and dealing with the subject of faith. God was sending Joshua into the land, and he told Joshua to be diligent. He told him to have great, but he told him to be diligent. He told him, you got to look at the word day and night. For what was the point? God was sending them in the land or a place of his jurisdiction that he laid out for them. And his plan was is to bless them. That was their place of milk and honey. But they're not going to please him there unless they're in faith. That has never changed. Faith is not a subject of the New Testament. Only faith ever pleased God. It has never been any different under any covenant. Faith is what always pleased God. And if Joshua had to be diligent, if he had to please God, then you and I are going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to be diligent. You know, I want you to, here's what the word diligent means. Constant effort to accomplish. And Mike, that'd be a good one for your teaching on patience, isn't it? Because that's exactly what, if you don't have diligence and learn to operate in the area of diligence, you will never have patience. You will never please God. You can't please him. Constant effort to accomplish something, done or pursued with perseverance. Persevering. Now listen, also, persevering attention. This is what this diligence means. We're talking diligence. And then there's some synonyms of it. There are persevering, untiring, tireless. Faith is a place that never quits. Faith, the place of faith that pleases God, is I don't stop till I have it. I don't stop till it's mine. I don't stop till I accomplish what I'm believing. I don't quit. It's diligence. It takes diligence to do that. It doesn't mean that it is an effortless thing. Many people think that faith, if I get over the areas of faith and I'm just on, you know, flowery beds of ease, and that's not what faith is. Faith requires diligence. It requires perseverance. You know, and you need to understand this. As the Lord spoke to me about, he showed me some things that I had gone through and some stuff, or tough spots and stuff and things along the road and walking by faith and that stuff in those areas. But you need to understand this. And he told me, because there's things he wanted me to teach, to talk about this, because during the area of the diligence, your faith really is proven when things get tough. If you're trying to get out of tough, and you don't like about things, and when things get tough, it's like Mike said. Mike said, when they prayed, God, you use us today, and all of a sudden use us today. And Mike said, Mike recognized he doesn't want to respond in that way. In other words, that's dealing in an area of faith. Mike doesn't, why? Because that response is not going to bring to pass what Mike wants to do and where Mike wants to go with God. And you need to understand this. How your faith, you can judge your faith by how long it takes you to finally get happy in a bad situation. The longer it takes you to get happy, it's showing that you're not really operating in the areas of faith. If you can't control your emotions and your things dealing with stuff, if you can't control those things, then you need to, because I mean, when I first started out, man, that was a big fight, to learning to do that. And you still do it today. I've gotten somewhat better at it than I did what I was before. But it is dealing, when tough problems come, what is your reaction to it? Your immediate reaction shows a lot about you, what you really think about faith. Now look, I'm not saying it's criticism. This is realism. This is realistic. This is the way it works. You can listen to preachers tell you anything else you want, but it don't work that way. You get over here and pressure comes, and when that pressure comes, it's our deal. We're learning to walk by faith. That's why there's a requirement of diligence. You got to keep looking up the Word, because this is what's going to happen. Most people never look at the Word till the problem comes, and that's the problem. That's the problem. I'm just telling you. That's the problem. Because you're always behind the eight ball. And look, the Lord showed me in some things. You know, there's people I can go back 15, 20 years ago, longer. And in the kingdom, Christians heard the message of faith, and their faith hasn't grown. And some of them are even further back than what they were back years ago when I knew them. And their faith hasn't grown at all. Their faith hasn't gone. And I watch them because they were never diligent. They were the type of people who always sat and waited till the problem come, and then asking for prayer, then asking for, they had got in the Word. They're asking you to pray for them, but they've never got in the Word. They didn't do it. See, you can't, it's just like, I found out it's a lot easier, when my car has problems or there seemed a little or something, go have it checked before the engine's laying on the road, and then when you have to go somewhere. Now I'm going to tell you, this is what most people do. They'll wait till the engine falls on the road. Then it's, let's get it fixed. That's what they'll do. Because, why? So then, now, they have this big mountain they got going, and they're all upset, and they're all worried, and they're all, problems, and this and that. And, I need to believe God. I have this problem, and I need... But the whole time, they're working behind it. It's very hard to come over the areas of faith. Smith Wigglesworth says that if you waited to get in faith till the problem happened, you waited too long. Here's one thing. Do not train yourself to act like that. You begin to change. If you don't change that, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you, and the Lord told me to tell this. You're going to be at the point where you cannot change. You will continually only operate that way. When the Lord reminded me of those people back in the past, He said, you know why they haven't changed? He said, because when I told Joshua what he was supposed to practice, he did. He said, they never did it. He said, they practiced all their life not being diligent. And he said, and this is what the Lord said to me, they can't change now. They'll just keep following that thing no matter how. He said, they can sit and listen to sermons. They can listen to teachings. They won't change. Practicing and practice, and understand the power of practicing, of doing. Doing's powerful. I found this out. People who would do, get out of bed in the morning, go to work, they always do better than the guy who never practices getting out of bed and going to work. Did you ever notice that? How did I ever get good at working? Was by practice, going, getting out of bed. See, everybody, some people just do this. You ask my mama if Ed just got out of the bed. Mama said, Ed, get out of that bed, youngin'! Get out of here! Mama would practice on me. She wouldn't say, you poor little thing, I know you're real tired because yesterday you prayed hard and it was tough. Oh, school's so hard. Mama didn't do that. Mama said, you get down here, go to school, don't want to hear nothing out of you. Come home, hear you were in trouble. I'm going to eat your lunch, son. Not just, oh, you poor thing, the teacher yelled at you. You poor widow baby. They just didn't treat you right. Grow, raise another devil. See, we need to, you know, I'm so glad I came out of a family that had some gumption. Thank you, Jesus. You know, somebody had told Ed the truth. Ed, you're an idiot. Knock it off. That's right. A mama who just told you flat out, you do that again, I'll knock you out, son. We won't have to go home and spank you. We'll go home and have to wake you. My parents weren't mean to us, but my parents were honest and they dealt with us. They didn't let us become whiners. You know, we weren't allowed to come home and complain because things were hard. I'm really glad of that. It helped me out as growing up. It helps out because, folks, you're going to go through hard things. There's one thing when you walk about faith. You're going to walk, Jesus said, you know, himself, you know, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. We're going to suffer persecution. In other words, hardships, troubles from people. Doing what's right, getting treated wrong. If that bothers you a lot, you need to get into the Bible a little bit. You need to start getting in the Word. If you're troubled, like I see people in the nation, it's all this crying because getting persecuted because the sinners don't want us to follow Christianity. I ain't getting mad at them. Dear Lord, I'm just getting in the Bible more. I'm going to keep staying diligent because I'm not going to let them affect my faith. If it bugs you that they're doing that so bad, they've got you. They got you. They do what they want. Hallelujah. But, you know, God didn't tell Joshua, you get over in the land, the people complain a lot. Well, good luck, you know, whatever. He told him, no, you stay in the Word. You stay in the Word. He went over there with some complainers over there, weren't there? That's why you stay in the Word. Because what you do is you want to take them out and all and shoot them. but you got to learn about all quiet. You got to be diligent. You got to maintain your diligence, just like Joshua did. He told him, you be courageous and strong. You do it. Now, he was talking to a man that wasn't even born again. I'm just telling you today, you be strong and courageous. You be. It's up to us. I'm either going to be a whiner or I'm going to be strong and courageous. I'm either going to complain or I'm going to be strong and courageous. I want to go to the thing when God tells me what he wants me to do with his will and my flesh don't like it, that Ed says, I don't care, flesh, what you want. We got to go follow God. Let's go do this. Or I'm in the middle of what I think's important, and he finds something else he thinks more important, I will lay it down and shut up. That's what I want to be. But see, that's the faith life, folks. The faith life don't is while confessing for money, confessing for stuff. That's not faith. Is when God tells you to do something and you learn to do it. Say, God and Joshua. Joshua had to divide up land to people. Can you imagine dividing up a land to people? My God, you couldn't please none of them. I mean, you turn around and gave me 1,000 acres out of here and I divided it between you guys, there'd be people complaining. Even if it was free land, you didn't have to pay for it. Somebody would be griping about it. I'll never forget when my mama died, and you know, because you always had some cheerful people in the family, you know. They, you know, and I just went to my brothers and then my sister. They were together, and I just told them, I said, "Look, I ain't fighting over anything about whether." I said, "You know, if you guys want to take it all, you take it all." I said, "I refuse to fight for any of it or any of this." I said, "I don't know," because I said, "As soon as somebody starts acting crazy about this stuff," I said, "I'm not interested. Let them have it. It's going to be to their curse anyhow. You know, it'll never work out for them." But I said, I will not fight over stuff. So I said, if anybody gets an idea that they want, go do what you want with it. I said, I really don't care. I ain't getting in no fight, none of it. So I said, don't come to me with none of that stuff. I said, I've got nothing from my parents, you know. People say, well, I want this or that. I said, I don't want nothing of it. I said, praise God, you just, everybody, I refuse to fight over this stuff. I refuse to go into that arena. If my God can't take care of me any other way, he's pretty slack and pretty poor off that he said he was anyhow. But see, I learned that, and I learned that from my daddy, because my daddy was a guy, he would that kind of stuff he just would not get into. He was a smart man concerning faith. You have to learn those things. You got to learn to practice, learn to be diligent, learn to be strong. Well, I tell you what, I really wanted that certain thing that Mama had, and that just meant so much to me. And I'm going to tell you, heaven means more. And I'll tell you, some heaven and this earth means more. I'd rather get healed than have an article from somebody. Somebody is something to thank. When I'm sick, I'd rather get well. And to worry about those things and fuss over those things. Now, you know, I see people fight and fuss over all kinds of stuff, but I've learned over time, there's a diligence that I must have. But I'm telling you, I haven't arrived. Dear God, we're working at this time. There's things that sure want to aggravate me. But I have to learn, and you're going to have to learn the diligence, because it's a requirement of the reward of your faith. If your faith isn't reaching to where you want it to go, it's because, and this is not knocking anybody, I'm just telling you, your diligence hasn't come to the point that it needs to. My diligence to reach to certain areas is going to require me to be more diligent to get there. It's going to require more. You know, it's like a guy goes to college and he gets his BA. Now, if he wants a master, it's going to require some more diligence. If he wants a doctorate, it's going to require more diligence. The church world has this idea that you just get it all because you got into the kingdom. No, I'm going to tell you what. God wants some Christians to have a doctorate in faith. He wants Christians to have the diligence to go out there far enough so he can do what he loves to do the best, and that's called reward. That's what he loves to do. To reward. But reward and diligence run hand in hand. I noticed that on paychecks when I would work, you know, regular paycheck. The more hours you put in, the more numbers got on that check. So the more you were diligent to go to work, the more you were diligent to do something, it got more on there. The whole system runs this way. And I don't know how people get in the kingdom and think somehow you can be a slacker and end up with a guy who is diligent. Get what he got. It doesn't work. Understand this about the kingdom. There is certain things of promotion within the kingdom. There's places that you can step into that really realms of the Spirit that you can only ever get there by your diligence. If you haven't been diligent in other areas, God won't reveal certain things in other areas to you. He won't show you. There's no point for him to do it. Because God's a rewarder of the diligent who seek him, not for the ones that just, I seek him sometimes. Or when I run into problems, I seek him. The time we need to seek God is when we don't have what we call problems. That's the time to be diligent. That's the time to be into the Word. That's the time. Because when the trouble comes, you're going to be find out that your time starts collapsing on you very quickly. You ask the person who the doctor gave a month to live, man, can you arise to the place of faith that you need to be walking in a month when you haven't been able to walk it in the last 20 years? Folks, I'm not saying any of this is not going to be. I'm just telling you how the system works. This is how it works. It's diligence. The Lord told me, talk about this. Spend time talking about this diligent thing. I mean, and I always tell people this. James is not the fun book that people like to read. But I want to tell you, do you know what? I understand James because Ed and James are the same. I believe Ed wrote this. Now, I think just like James. James was a straight shooter, and he's hard for the church to take because he'll just tell you the facts. People don't like the facts. James didn't. James, now understand, this is the brother of Jesus, James. He's not the apostle Jesus who wrote this, the apostle James. This is Jesus' brother. He was the head of the church in Jerusalem. He would never make it the head of both churches today, not talking the way he talked. They told him he wasn't sweet enough. But let's look at some things here quickly in closing. I just want to read some things here James made a statement about. I'm going to go back over to James. I'm going to probably pick this up again, and we're going to look at some things. But that scripture I stayed on because the Lord told me specifically to talk about that diligence. Now listen here what James said in the first chapter. I want you to see what James said. This is very point blank. But you know, I remember God, back when I was a young Christian, and God showed me this thing. And really, I really got a revelation off of this stuff, and I started to understand. You know, not just faith trying to get by. Is I wanted a faith that would get out there, would go out there for where God could come into this earth because I believed him, where God could do something because I could reach out there far enough to say, hey, I'll stand here and believe, Lord God, I'll stand at this place. I can believe it. Because I will tell you, when you do this, always, I've noticed this, the circumstance around you start heading the other way. Circumstances. You know, Wanda and I just started here just not long ago, started giving money away to different things and started a number of things, you know, putting money out. And so money started coming in. But boy, when money started coming in, stuff started happening. Things going, things needed fixed. All of a sudden, all kind of stuff started going. Now, you can get over there thinking, man, oh, well, this, you can get discouraged over there. And I just refuse. It's things that happen go wrong. This cost this much money. That cost that much money. And I'd just say to Wanda, well, it's only money. She'd say, yeah, that's right. It's only money. Who cares? And just do that. Oh, man, years ago, I'd have got all upset about, oh, I'll tell you what, I just don't understand. Well, you get over there in that place, out of faith, talking over there. The last two times that Wanda and I went away travel any place, the day before leaving, something had happened to the car. The day before. Now, you there's the whole thing. See, people go, well, what are we going to do? We've got to get it fixed. I just start through that. You'd go there. And I just said, well, just a car. I said, man, if I have to buy a car before I leave, I'll do it. I'm not going to sit and fuss about this. I'm not going to get over that thing. We're going away. We're going to go on vacation. We're going to have a good time. Don't matter. So I went over to this guy that does the garage for us. I went over and I told him, you know, what happened. I said, you know, about we're leaving vacation. I said, we don't have time. I said, I understand. Because he's busy. He's always busy. He's got a bunch of cars there. He's great on working. He's excellent working on cars. And that's why, I mean, people bring their high-end cars to him to work on. They don't take them to the high-end shops because he's better than they are. And he's really good at it, and I know it. And I told him, he said, oh, I'll get in. I'll work yours. Don't worry about it. We'll get it fixed. We'll get it on the road. He did that for me two times. And then both times, you know, it costs you money, but you know what I did to him? I gave him a good tip. I gave him a tip. I said, here, well, you take care of me. He likes me. He said, but you understand? I appreciate, you know. And people say, well, you know, just more money. I can't afford to do that. You know, we're going on vacation. I mean, no, man, you just keep doing what's right. It's number one, you're going to keep that flow. If you get over in the area and you play the games over there, I don't understand. Every time we go away, something happens. I just don't. Although many times I've heard people say that stuff. You know what they just told me? Their faith ain't going to work no matter what. They ain't going to let it work. They're going to sit over there. And when something comes along, see, under pressure, it's how they start to act, under pressure. James, my brethren, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You got to learn to do that. When trouble comes, that's what you must learn to do. You cannot learn that if you have not been diligent in the word. You won't do that. You won't. You'll be all no. All no. Something bad happened. Oh no. Somebody just got a bad report concerning their health. Oh no. No, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. We just had a thing come up with our one grandson out there, health problem, that stuff. Daughter told him, you know, some things going on. So I said, oh, don't worry. I said, he's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. He said, somebody said, did you pray? I didn't pray 2 seconds. Grandpa said, that's enough. Grandpa ain't going to worry. I ain't going to prayer worried. If you're a worry prayer, you're not in faith. It ain't going to work. You can't pray because you're worried. Why would I have to pray? The Bible, I don't have to pray. That's my grandson. Devil ain't killing him. Devil ain't going to ruin his life. Devil, he's going to be just fine. Don't you worry about it. Let's get prayer. I want to call 500 people. I know these their prayer chains all of the nation and all these guys, and I'll call them all on TV, and we'll all get them all to pray and that stuff. I'm going to tell you, Paul knows how to use faith. Paul can speak some things and they come to pass. And I've learned. Because if Paul worries, Paul loses. I've been there. I can't go to that place. You count it all joy. He said, knowing this, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Actually, use the word produces. Actually, that word is the word concerning is doing work. In other words, it puts your patience to work. Let me tell you this. If you ain't got no patience, a trowel sure ain't gonna ain't gonna put anything to work. If you ain't, how? Where would the patience? I want to tell you, if a person will stay in meditation, like God told Joshua, you're gonna divide this land. I'm gonna be with you like I was with Joshua, with Moses. But you gotta meditate in the Word day and night. So you can be successful at this thing. If you want to be successful at faith, it will show whether you're really spending time in the Word to your reactions when things go wrong. Because it is only in the Word that you will find faith. Faith. There is no place. You cannot have faith and not have patience. They don't exist. If you don't have patience, you don't have faith. Faith, and we'll talk about it next week. Faith is entering into rest. Man, that's where I want. I want my faith to come to the place. It always ain't been there, let me tell you. But I want my faith to be able to put up with great pressure and just be at peace. I want to be at peace at that place, and I'm at rest and I'm at patience. But I know this. It will never go there if I don't stay constantly looking at what the Word says. Today, if you're not looking at what the Word says, you're listening to something, and whatever you're listening to, and I don't care if I'm listening to just this preacher talking here, I'm going to tell you, your faith can't be built just listening to me talking or any other preacher. You're going to have to look in the book, and you're going to be diligent at it. We have too many people say this today and need to stop it. We're in a land that taught people to read, and they say, well, I just don't like to read. Get over it, big baby, and pick the Bible up. Learn to read. You need to look into the book yourself. We need to stop this stuff. I'm telling you what, it is laziness. I know. I just want to kick my fist. Let's not do it. Man, I've learned a lot and I don't have to learn anymore from here. We have to stop it. We have a laziness in our society, and it's laziness. You don't get good at anything you don't do. If you don't do it, you don't get good at it. You got to do it to get good at it. If you're willing to let what you're not good at pass by, it's going to catch you one day. If God told Joshua that he had to look into the law day and night, does that mean Ed don't have to? Ed's going to go where Joshua went without doing it. No, he won't. Ed's going to have to be just as diligent. I know what it is with the reading thing and understanding. I had the problem. And you know how I got over it? By defying what man said and defying and quit saying myself, I don't like to read, I don't like to do this, I have a hard time. You got to quit that. That's your faith talking. I had to sit down and say, you know what, I'm going to read this book and I love it. And I'll tell you what, I read this book, I can understand it, I can comprehend this thing. God's talking to me in this book. You know, people say, well, I've got to read the book. I don't know. I just don't seem to get much out of the book. I'm going to tell you, if you don't get much out of this book, you ain't going to get much out of life. You're going to live on the bottom of the pile all the time. This is the book of life. This should be the thing we are most eager to look to. I mean, I still like holding a book in my hand and reading. I still like holding the Bible in my hand. I have devices. And I'll tell you what. They don't do. I mean, you know, hey, it's a funny thing. They've run studies and stuff, and people using their phones to read on and using their other things, and they found that people's comprehension is less than they do if they hold a book in their hand and read it. It's less. Man, I need all the comprehension I can get. I don't know about you. Maybe somebody else is a rocket scientist and don't need that. But I'll tell you this. I know a lot of the people today and all the technology things, and I'll tell you what, my faith will knock them out because they ain't getting there. Technology don't give you faith. It's being diligent in the Word. I don't care how much and how quick you can bring it up on your device. How long are you staying there in it? That's what I want to know. Most people are as quick as their device is. They change, you know, that I read two scriptures and we're off to something else. Yes. And what was on YouTube? I just, you know. Yeah. I'm tired of people telling me they don't have time. And I'm going to tell you what, you put your phone away for next week. And I'll find out you'll have tons of time of playing with your devices. You got more time in a little bit. We're so busy today. Don't tell me that so busy today. I don't want to hear that no more. The people that are so busy ain't paying attention to nothing around them and they're on their phones and doing playing their stuff on looking at everything and, you know, under the sun and hold it. The church has to be different than the world. Whatever you're spending your most time doing, that's what you're going to be good at. And it won't be God if it's not God what you're doing most. It won't be. You're going to be good at what you spend your time. You know, you got a guy that's worked on a job for 30 years, gets pretty good at it, don't he? He gets good at that job. He gets excellent. Why is it? He spent time on the job. He's been there doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. And he gets real good at it. Why would we think when it comes to God it's some different? It's some different thing. I'm just telling you it's not. Listen to this. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, now he's just using the subject of wisdom. This could be to anything that your faith wants to go to. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all, who gives to some people, a couple of people, I don't know, I just can't get wisdom on, I just don't. People's mouths are running wild. They haven't been diligent in the word. I would never say it's hard for Ed to get wisdom. Wisdom is given by God. The word says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. No one in the body of Christ has a reason for lack of wisdom. The reason for lack of wisdom is the lack of diligence. If we had diligence toward the word, we would have faith in the word. Diligence in it. That's why when Mike is teaching on patience, I thought, man, that was so good, teaching that on patience. Why? Because that you got to get in there and hook it. You got to stay with it. You can't back down. The devil has some lousy things planned for people right here in this room. That you want to be diligent, because when it comes, you want to be ready. And I'm not saying that because I had a vision nor a dream. I live in the earth. I know. It just happens. Life comes. You walk the best. You walk in what you know to do. I mean, I've been many times right in the middle of the perfect will, doing what God wanted me to do, believing like He wanted me to, and evil came. And you got to stand in faith. You don't come to the place. You know, Kenneth Hagin was asked, well, do you ever come to the place you don't need faith? He says, if there is, he said, I don't know nothing about it. I said, I don't know anything. He said, as long as you're in this earth and this body, you're going to have to use it. Now listen to what he says. But let him ask in what? Faith. With no doubting. Oh, with some doubting. Oh, I'm doubting some. He said, no, you got to ask in faith and no doubting. He wrote the same thing over there. Jesus said, see, you know, James must have been listening to Jesus. James said over there, if you say on that mountain, you can't doubt with your heart. You can have no doubt in your heart, but believe. He said the same thing. James said the same thing Jesus said. You want something, you can't have doubt. You got to get rid of the doubt out of you. The only way I know how to get doubt out of me is stay focused on the Word and keep going back to the Word. When I'm dealing with a situation, I need to remove doubt. And if I know this, if I'll stay in the Word when problems come, and if I've stayed in the Word, when the problem arises, I won't have all of a sudden all this confusion and doubt going on. See, when you don't do that, what happens is a problem comes, and now you got, you know, 347,000 doubts, and you're trying this little, you know, 2-pound faith to push that thing. That little bit of faith in there, because, you know, the faith hasn't been fed. The faith hasn't been built. There's no patience to stand. God, you got to change this right now. I'm irritable. I can't stand this no more. God, you got to make something happen, God. God, you got to do something. Hurry up, God, do something. I can't stand this anymore. You got to fix this. Sure, I'm patient. Let me alone. I'm believing God. Get off my back. Okay. What do you see? This God who gives, see what he gives it liberally. But he said you have to ask in faith, no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Now listen to what James said. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. See, people see that's a hard statement. That's not a hard statement. That's the truth. That's not a hard statement. That's the truth. See, in our society, we're not allowed to say, because well, this is too hard, or that's too hard. And as we come up the thing, the truth is just too hard. So you know what God's going to do? God's going to turn around and find an easier path for me because that's just too hard. No, he's not. No, he's not. Because I'm going to come up, there's time that I'm going to need to stand. And I'm going to need to stand in faith. And the problem is going to be there looking me at the face. And I can't be Mr. Doubt. I have been there already. I have been Mr. Doubt when it showed up. I have been Mr. Complain when it showed up. And what it did, took me weeks and sometimes months to finally get myself straightened out where I could set some faith to start to move in that direction. Many of you are like me. You have put up with many problems for periods of time, and it wasn't because of God. It wasn't because of the devil. It was because of us having to finally get ourselves around over in faith to start to, so God could start to change the thing, because we took so long in being getting around to where we could get in faith. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, and I'm not gonna, hey, I'm in the boat, guys. But there's one thing. If we don't talk about what's true, if we don't talk about what's right, it never changes. And then what we do is we've done what the world did today. We start a new Christian religion. Well, you know, sometimes God heals and sometimes he don't. And sometimes it's in his timing it'll come to pass. I found out this. I had more to do with the timing lots of times than he did. I found out when I finally did get his time, and you know what his time was? Faith. That was his time. He'd been willing to help Ed, and he's been wanting to bring it to pass, but Ed had not done the right thing so the angels could go to work, so the Holy Ghost could go to work and do his thing. It wasn't working in that direction. I was holding it all up because I had my doubting. And don't let that guy think he's going to get anything. And I've learned this over time. If Ed doesn't bring things to health, if he doesn't, we'll talk next week about entering into rest. Because you'll know that's the land of faith. God's kingdom is a land of rest. His jurisdiction is a land of rest. That's why there's nobody who's a worrier or worries about stuff. You're operating outside the jurisdiction of the kingdom. You're not out, because that's not rest. I'm going to tell you what. I wouldn't want Joshua's job unless I would have had Moses' anointing to go take that people into that land. Because you would definitely need it. But Joshua, that wasn't the, did he say the anointing is going to be enough? He said, Joshua, you're going to have to learn to look into the word. You're going to have to learn to be diligent. You, Joshua, are going to have to do that. You're going to have to be strong and very courageous. You are. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet.